There's that slide. The idea for the current sermon series that we're on, this Grow, the idea was to really kind of focus in on personal and spiritual growth during a time of year when things are really growing. That was kind of the idea behind it. And there are so many scriptures in the Bible that use this kind of growth imagery, agricultural and farming imagery, things about seeds and trees and bushes and grass. I mean, you can find them everywhere in the Bible. But what has been interesting to me as we've looked at the text that we chose about a year ago when we were planning this is that the texts are really less about us and our growth and more about the God who gives growth. The one who loves us, and we talked about this for the last 2 weeks, the one who loves us recklessly and extravagantly. And we saw that in the first week when we talked about the creation, how God created everything. And he created all living things. And he gave us everything that we need in abundance, more than we could ever possibly even use. Enough not just to survive, but to thrive. And the command that he followed that up with, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. So we serve a God of abundance who loves us in abundance. We saw the same thing last week in Jesus' parable of the sower. And we talked about how yes, it is about the soil and the different kinds of soil, but we also see that God is a God who sows seeds even in places where they stand virtually no chance of ever taking root and growing. So God treats us all like we're good soil, whether we happen to be good soil at the time or not. And our scripture reading for today is going to kind of fall into the same category, but we're coming at it from a little bit of a different angle. Because today we see God as the vine grower and the vine dresser. Does anybody know what a vine dresser does? They prune the vines. They cut them back so that they can produce more fruit. But what we're going to see is that this still comes from the same place. This is still the God who loves recklessly, who still loves extravagantly. We read in John 15, beginning at verse 1, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into a fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever it is you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. Now, as I was reading this text, I noticed there's kind of a choice that's here in these verses that Jesus is teaching his disciples. And it reminded me of a choice that I used to give my kids sometimes, particularly my boys, when they didn't want to go to bed at night. And the choice I would give them, I would say, okay, you can either go to bed now of your own free will, or I'm going to grab you by the ear and I'm going to drag you to bed, and we'll do it that way. It's up to you. I'm good either way. It's amazing how well they can make the right choice when they know exactly what their options are. And in our scripture reading for today, Jesus gives us a similar kind of choice. He says, either you are pruned and therefore bear more fruit, or you get gathered up with the other dead branches and burned. Now, you may hear that, and you may be like my kids that used to say, are those my only two options? And I totally get it. It hurts to be pruned. It's not something that we enjoy doing. Pruning, as you may have guessed, involves change. It involves transformation. in our lives. It means cutting away the old branches so that they can be replaced with new fruit-bearing growth. But the problem for most of us is that we don't like change. In fact, more often than not, we just as soon stay the way we are, even if the way we happen to be at any given time is essentially a complete disaster. We prefer that to the unknown. And I think there are a lot of things that can create barriers between us and God, which are the things that need to go. And you'd think that we would be in a hurry to get rid of those things from our lives. But again, that doesn't seem to be how people are wired. Sometimes we treat that deadwood in our lives that's not really helping anything, we treat it as if we can't live without it. In fact, sometimes that deadwood almost comes to define us. It becomes almost the center part of our personality or our character, our identity. So for instance, say you're a person that just loves to complain, that you never have anything positive to say about your life or your family or your church or your community, just whatever. Now imagine that God were to take that away, take that all away. How much would you have left? Who would you be? I mean, you could see where this could be a little scary. If that was the kind of all you ever did, and suddenly that can't be a part of your life, or that won't be a part of your life anymore, now, who are you? That's a pretty good question. I think this is one reason why people will oftentimes they'll turn to self-help books, and they'll turn to programs you can buy on infomercials on TV that don't really require much. They certainly don't require what God requires. They might require, three easy payments in 1995 or whatever, but they're not going to require any kind of sacrifice. They're not going to require any kind of pain on your part. You don't have to really work that hard, do anything difficult. God, on the other hand, says to you, you know, and I know, that if anything worthwhile is going to blossom in your life, if you're going to bear fruit, real fruit, then you're going to have to change. You're going to have to let me come into your life and prune you and prune out the dead wood and prune you in order for that to happen. I believe that Jesus picked this image of the vine dresser very carefully because he understood, and I think people then and even people today understand what that means and how that works. For instance, fruit trees and flowers and vines and bushes, they all require pruning in order to be their best, at their best, in order to produce whatever it is that they produce. And so, for instance, if you've got a lot of deadwood in a tree, the disease or insects from those dead branches can spread to the rest of the tree. You don't want that. That's why the deadwood has to come out. There's something else that can happen if you don't prune a bush or a tree. And this is the one that kind of makes me a little bit more nervous. And that is, if you just let a bush or a tree just grow and get lots and lots of branches and lots of leaves, pretty soon it looks good, but it doesn't produce any fruit. Because all of the energy, all of the life in the tree is going to make to keep those leaves alive and those branches alive. And so, again, it looks good, but it's not producing any fruit. And the parallel, I think, for us in our spiritual lives is that we settle not for producing fruit, but for looking like we might produce fruit. We settle for looking good, and that's not good enough. An old Billy Crystal thing came to my mind. He used to be on Saturday Night Live a long time ago, and he used to do an imitation of Fernando Llamas, and he used to say, and I'm sure you remember this, he used to say, "It's better to look good than to feel good." You remember that? So if I'm going to update that for today, for Christians, I would say what we're saying is it's better to look good than to be good. It's better to look like we're bearing fruit than to actually do the difficult work and be in relationship with God and allow Him to prune us so that we can actually bear fruit in our lives. In Charles Swindoll's book called Improving Your Serve, it's a great old book, he talks about somebody that's kind of struggling with this in their life, about not wanting to kind of to go all in And he quotes this guy, and it begins with these words. "I'd like to buy $3 worth of God, please. Not enough to explode my soul or disturb my sleep, but just enough to equal a cup of warm milk and a snooze in the sunshine. I don't want enough of him to love a Muslim or to pick beaks with a migrant. I want ecstasy, not transformation. I want the warmth of the womb, not a new birth. I want a pound of the eternal in a paper sack. I'd like to buy $3 worth of God." I think there's a lot of people that would like to do that. We'd like to just dip our toes just into it, right? Not get fully into it, not really allow it to change and take those parts of us that maybe kind of define who we are, those parts of us that we feel like we can't live without. But that's not good enough for God. He wants it all. He wants to come in and clear out the dead wood. And I don't know if you noticed this or not, but he wants to trim even the branches in you that are already bearing fruit. That part kind of freaks me out. He says, even the parts of you that bear fruit, they're going to get pruned so that they can bear more fruit. That's what God wants to do in our lives. But all of this talk about pruning, all of this talk about the vine dressing, we need to remember that the secret to fruitfulness isn't so much the act of pruning itself, and it's not the vine. It has to do with the vine grower. It has to do the power that's behind it all. And so we need to remember, it's not about the branches. It's about the vine. It's about the true vine. Apart from the vine, we die. We're like branches that are severed from the vine, which is where the life comes from. Jesus said, apart from him, we can do nothing. But if we abide in him, we can. We can have life and we can bear fruit. This word abide means to trust. It means to live in, to take our life from. And it means trusting in God even when things are difficult, even when there may be storms that tear through our lives. One preacher I was reading said that God is sometimes like a gardener who watches as the storms roll through the garden, through his garden. Now, he didn't cause the storms to happen. He didn't want those storms to happen. But he then goes into the garden after it's all over, when the damage is done, and he begins to gently and tenderly clear away the damage. He begins to prune back those branches that are twisted and broken and dying so that he can restore balance and harmony and ultimately fruitfulness to his creation. That's what he does, because God is a God of love, reckless, extravagant love, and wants to do whatever he can to bring healing and fruitfulness into our lives. And when you're loved like that, and when you abide in that love, it changes you. It transforms you. It changes everything. Love changes everything. One of my favorite stories about this is a story about a woman named Mary Ann Bird. She was born with a cleft palate many years ago, and they had to do multiple surgeries, something like 17 surgeries, in order to fix this. And even then, it was obvious that she'd had all of these surgeries, and she was very ashamed of the way she looked. And when other kids would ask her, as a little girl, would ask her what happened, instead of telling them the truth, she would tell them that she'd been in a car accident. It seemed more acceptable to her that this had been an accident than that this was something that she'd been born with. She was convinced that nobody could love her. Outside her family, nobody could really love her. And then she had a teacher come into her life, like second grade, something like that. Her name was Mrs. Leonard, and she was the short, round, happy woman that everybody loved. And every year, Mrs. Leonard would do a hearing test with all the kids in her class, and she would have them stand on the other side of the room. She would sit at her desk, and she'd have them cover one ear at a time, and she would whisper a sentence to them, something like, "The sky is blue," or something like that. And then they would have to repeat it back, and then she would determine if they needed to get any other testing done. Well, everybody was getting their test done, and finally Mary Ann got up to do hers. And God must have put these special words in Mrs. Leonard's mouth, because what Mrs. Leonard said that day, what she whispered to Mary Ann was, "I wish you were my little girl." Years later, Mary Ann grew up, and she became a columnist in the local newspaper. And this was in Foxborough, Massachusetts. I looked this up this week because I was curious about the background of the story. And the reason we know about it is because she wrote about it as an adult. She wrote about this moment in her life when everything kind of changed. God put those words in Mrs. Leonard's mouth, and she knew exactly what that hurting little girl needed to hear. "I wish you were mine." And I believe that God whispers those same words over our lives. I believe that God loves us, and he wants us to know that, and he wants to be a part of our lives, and he wants to bring healing into our lives. And sometimes, depending on where you're at, when you hear those words, you may hear words of encouragement, words of healing, like she did, telling you, "I love you, and I want to be a part of your life." You might hear those same words, because this is the vine dresser, this is the one who gardens. You may also hear a call to repentance. You may also hear a call to allow God to come into your life and to do some pruning, some much-needed pruning. Either way, it's still about growing and bearing fruit and staying connected to the true vine, who is Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us pray. Lord, we know that your Son Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. Help us to stay connected to him. Help us to do so in such a way that we bear real fruit, not just big showy leaves, but real fruit in our lives, in our community, so that others might know that you are God and that we are your people. For we ask this all in Jesus' name.